You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join us this week on Thursday, the Dodgers off day, to get in on the action. Locked On Dodgers is the daily podcast covering the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, doing a split episode today, so I will be with you for the first half, and my buddy Vince Samperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends will be with you for the second half of the episode. Vince was at the Dodgers-Astros game on Tuesday night. I was watching it at home in Utah on my couch, and so as I'm recording this, Vince is probably still trying to get out of the Dodger Stadium parking lot, and I'm getting ready to go to bed. So first, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about kind of the media approach to the Dodgers-Astros stuff, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about a questionable decision by Dave Roberts. Obviously, it wasn't the end result, you know, or wasn't the cause of the end result because the Dodgers didn't score any runs. But, you know, I feel like I owe it to you guys because I am a bit of a Dave Roberts defender. And so when he does something that I think is clearly wrong, I got to talk about it. So that's mostly what I'm going to talk about today. First, I want to remind you, please subscribe or follow Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, so the Dodgers lost 3-0 to the Astros. It was a dumb game. It was not fun. You know, there were times it was exciting. The crowd was really, really fired up, and you know, maybe too fired up at times. There were a couple times that Walker Buehler looked pretty darn annoyed at having the game delayed because fans threw stuff onto the field. It seemed like most or even all of the times the game got delayed because the things thrown on the field was when the Astros were at the plate, and I would hope that fans would be a little bit smarter than that, recognizing that if you're delaying your own pitcher, you know, people complain about the wave and saying it's distracting to the pitcher. Don't do it when the pitcher is in a big spot or whatever. I don't believe in that because I think professional athletes can tune out what's happening in the stands. But when the stands spill out onto the field, that changes things because the game actually gets delayed. Walker Buehler had trouble getting in a rhythm. Even after the game, Will Smith said that that probably affected him a little bit. Buehler had to battle through 6 innings, through 113 pitches, I think. Only allowed the 1 run. He pitched great for a night that he didn't have his best stuff. You know, I remember we used to talk about Kershaw like this. Every once in a while, he'd have a game where he just didn't look like Clayton Kershaw, so he'd only go 6 innings, allow 1 run or 2 runs, you know? And it's just something that it's easy to get spoiled by recognizing when a pitcher like Clayton Kershaw in his prime or Walker Buehler, who's currently in his prime probably, having a game like this where he didn't have his best stuff, and yet he went out and kept the team in the game. And, you know, unfortunately, if Lance McCullers hadn't pitched so well, Walker Buehler earns himself a win with this performance. He did everything he could do to win the game. And unfortunately, the offense just didn't pick him up. But Buehler pitched great. McCullers pitched great, maybe greater. Went more than 6 innings. You know, the Dodgers had their chances, though. They had chances to score. Justin Turner looked really bad against McCullers. Max Muncy had an uncharacteristic, well, it was a very characteristic at bat for a while. He went 3-0 on the first batter that the relief pitcher Blake Taylor was facing. Muncy went 3-0. Taylor threw 2 strikes, and then Muncy fell off a bunch of pitches, you know, and it looked like a classic Max Muncy at bat that was going to end in either a walk to load the bases for Justin Turner or a hit to tie the game, or even better. And then Muncy just swung at a pitch 1.5 feet outside, just really uncharacteristic. He just got fooled, you know, and there was a lot of that where things just, guys who you expect, Will Smith had a chance early in the game, struck out looking with 2 guys on base, you know, just situations where you think, okay, something's going to happen here. We have the right guy at the plate, and it just didn't work out. And unfortunately, that's how baseball is sometimes. And so, you know, it's easy to say, I saw a bunch on Twitter, you know, some blue check marks saying the Dodgers lack heart, or, you know, they didn't, you can't step up in the big moment or whatever. All that stuff is hindsight after the fact. You know what? Heart and body language and all that stuff, that's all the result of winning. It's not the cause of winning. If a team wins, you say, oh, their body language is great. They showed heart. They do the same thing and they lose, you know? Oh, no heart. Bad body language, you know, and it's all armchair psychology. It's a losing battle for any of us to ever try to get into professional athletes' heads. I'm as guilty as anybody of it at times, but I do try to be conscious of not doing that because they are real people with, you know, real stuff going on. And, but there's also a big difference between them and us. And that big difference is they made it to the major leagues and we didn't. I topped out in high school. Probably could have pitched college, but injury stuff. But I was never going to play in the major leagues, despite, you know, I thought I was, but I was never going to be a major leaguer. And part of that is because I don't have the mindset for it. Those of us who are not major league players, there's a really good reason for that. And we can't project our own insecurities and weaknesses onto these guys who actually did make it there, because most of them made it because they're stronger mentally than we are. But I do want to talk really quick about this questionable decision from Dave Roberts. He brought in Victor Gonzalez in the eighth inning. Blake Treinen pitched the seventh to the 8-9-1 hitters. I think it was because Roberts wanted Treinen against Altuve. I would have been fine with that. I would have been fine with holding Treinen for the eighth inning. Regardless, the key thing for me being fine was make sure that another good pitcher is pitching the other inning. And instead, we got Victor Gonzalez. Victor Gonzalez was great last year for the Dodgers. Victor Gonzalez in 2021 is not one of the Dodgers' seven best relief pitchers. And in this situation, this series, you had a day off before the series started. You have a day off after the series ends. You have a fully rested bullpen. There is no reason why every single reliever shouldn't be available for both of these games. And that means Victor Gonzalez should only be in the game with a big lead or a big deficit. In a 1-0 game, Victor Gonzalez has no business being in the game. I know he throws with his left hand, and you had Michael Brantley and Yordan Alvarez coming up. But the fact is, Victor Gonzalez is not a very good pitcher this year. He doesn't have it. Definitely, you know, compared to me, yes. Again, I understand. He's a major leaguer. I'm not. I get that. But compared to the other guys in the bullpen, when you have Blake Treinen and Joe Kelly and, you know, Jimmy Nelson and Kenley Jansen and Bruce Dar-Gratterall and Alex Vesia, if it has to be a lefty, Alex Vesia, you've got David Price, all these guys, you know, maybe not David Price if he's going to be in starting rotation, but you get what I'm saying. You have all these guys and you go with Victor Gonzalez in that situation in a one-run game. It's the wrong decision. I don't say that very often about Dave Roberts. I don't believe that managers have very many decisions that are right or wrong. I think there are degrees, there are better and worse decisions, and Roberts sometimes makes the worst decision, sometimes make the better decision. I think very few decisions are clear-cut right or wrong. I've mentioned the ones that I think are the wrong decision. Taking out Pedro Baez in game two of the 2018 World Series to bring in Alex Wood, I think. Taking out or bringing in Clayton Kershaw in game five of the 2019 NLDS, definitely leaving Kershaw in to pitch the eighth inning. We've had a couple this year that we've talked about. You know, it doesn't happen a lot, but when it does, I think this was the wrong decision. Now, again, the Dodgers didn't score a run, but they don't decide the winner and loser until the game is over. And a one-run game is different than a three-run game. And so while it's easy to say the Dodgers didn't score, so they were going to lose anyway, that's not necessarily true. And a 1-0 game, maybe things go differently. And I wish Dave Roberts had made a better decision there. And I'm not sure why he did the decision that he did. So I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to talk about the media reaction to the whole Dodgers-Astros situation and, some thoughts I have on that. So keep it locked on Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with us, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about the Dodgers or your other favorite teams or sports. We are hosting rooms for Locked On Dodgers once a week. This week it will be on Thursday and the Dodgers' next off day. Green Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the league. You'll have a chance to chat with us and might even have a chance to be featured on Locked On Dodgers through our Green Room conversations. Again, join us this week on Thursday. We'll tweet out the link. We'll let you know a time as it gets closer. And we love talking with you guys on these green rooms. Last week's didn't make it into the episode because the Dodgers traded for Max Scherzer. And so, you know, we had to scrap our green room podcast, but we still had a great time, spent about 40 minutes talking with a bunch of you. And we look forward to doing that again. So go download the free green room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. Follow me at Snydog to be notified when our room goes live. We know you won't want to miss it. Like I said, we will be there Thursday on the Dodgers off day, and we can't wait to hear all your thoughts on the Dodgers. We'll see you there. Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. Okay, I just want to talk a little bit, just a thought I had about the media, and, you know, it ties into another thought that I've had. I think I've talked about this in the past, my thoughts on the extra inning rule. And basically, I said my opinion is that people who don't care who wins the game like the extra inning runner on second rule because it does make things exciting and stuff. You know, I've even found myself when I'm flipping, you know, through MLB TV when the Dodgers aren't playing, if I see a game that's in the ninth inning and tied, I'm like, oh, I'm going to watch that. Let's see if they go to extra innings. It does make it exciting. But when you care who wins, it's totally different, and you hate it because it adds so much. The same things that makes it exciting is the unpredictable nature, and the unpredictable nature is annoying when you care who wins, especially when you're a team that's really good and for some reason can't win in extra innings. Well, maybe it has to do with the unpredictable nature of the stupid rules. You know, and the reason I'm talking about this is because I think there's a similar dynamic going on with this Astros-Dodgers stuff. You see, I saw a lot of stuff from the media talking about how Dodger fans are being weird about this. Somebody handed out like papers as people were walking into the stadium telling people what to chant and stuff. And I saw a blue check mark tweet out, this is weird. And I get that, but I think it's the same dynamic because the media, you know, and before I get to my point, Bill Plaschke before the game tweeted out that, that fans were throwing home run balls back during batting practice and how out of line that was. I'm like, unless they're throwing the balls at the Astros players, and if they are, you should have mentioned that in your tweet. But if they're just throwing the balls back on the field, that doesn't hurt anyone. That's a fun, harmless way for fans to express their hatred for the Astros. But for Plaschke, and you know, Plaschke is the one who accused Puig of attempted murder for dumping water on him after a playoff series win or something. So shocking that Bill Plaschke would hyperbolize and sensationalize something. But, you know, so that stuff, like the media, they don't get why Dodger fans are upset. And Vince and I talked a lot yesterday on the episode about how we feel about the Astros. And so I'm not going to rehash that too much, but I think it's that same dynamic because the media reporters, by definition, have to be impartial. And so they can't understand how we feel as Dodger fans about having the World Series stolen from us in 2017. And, you know, I know Yankee fans would say that they had it stolen from them too. Whatever. We had a Dodgers-Yankees World Series stolen from us, and I believe the Dodgers would have beat the Yankees. I think the Dodgers were the best team in baseball in 2017, and they almost beat the Astros in seven games, even though the Astros were cheating. And so, you know, the Dodgers had that stolen from them. And we, Dodger fans, who had waited since 1988, 29 years at that point, had that stolen from us. And if you're in the media, you have to be impartial. And so you don't understand, you can't understand how it feels to be invested in a team. Maybe if you have a long memory and remember back when you were just a baseball fan, maybe you can. But I think something about having to be an impartial observer in the media, it takes it away. And I think it was either one of the Bills, not Plaschke, either Shaken or Plunkett, tweeted something out about how there were only four Astros left on the team. And Alana Rizzo responded with, not the point. And you could tell Alana was more part of the team. You know, yeah, she's media. She worked for Sportsnet LA. But, you know, she was part of the, she was a Dodger fan in that situation, whereas the reporters aren't. And Alana gets it that the point isn't, oh, the people who actually cheated aren't there anymore. The Astros cheated, and we're going to boo the Astros because that's who we can boo right now. you know, if you're into booing, however you're dealing with it. And the, also, the fact is, some of the main ones, Carlos Correa and Jose Altuve and Yuli Gurriel, are still there. And so they're fun to be the targets of. But I feel like the media just doesn't quite understand, and I think a little more self-awareness on their part, recognizing that they can't understand what fans are going through. I think it would be better, and maybe that's one thing that Astros reporters are doing better at, is tying into the fan feelings. Unfortunately, too much. They're actually giving credence and legitimacy to the idea that every team was doing the same thing the Astros did, and the Astros were scapegoats, and all the other stupid things that somehow people let blind fandom cause them to actually believe. It's shocking to me, the stupid things that people believe out of fandom, but it happens. But anyway, my point is, if you are in the media, you're probably not listening to this podcast. I recognize that. But I would hope that members of the media would get a little bit more self-awareness and recognize that there are real things. The investment that human beings put into the fandom of their sports teams is a real thing. I refer to baseball as the most important, unimportant thing in life, you know, and I probably have a little bit perspective than a lot of people, better perspective than a lot of people. I think for a lot of people, they wouldn't throw in the word unimportant there. You know, people care about the Dodgers. We love the Dodgers. We care about our team. And to have a World Series stolen was a real thing that caused real anger, real sadness. And you can't just dismiss those feelings and say it was 4 years ago or it's just a game or whatever, because the fact is those things are real. And maybe we should have better perspective about it, but we don't. And the reason that these reporters have a job is because fans are crazy. Fan is short for fanatic. That's where the word comes from. We care about our teams. We care about getting cheated out of a World Series title. And the fact that it's been 4 years or even a year and a half since we found out they cheated, which a lot of people forget to mention, it's only been a year and a half. This was literally the first game that the Astros players have played in front of Dodger fans since we found out they cheated. You know what? It's not quite time to let it go yet. And media, get over yourselves and deal with it, because we're going to be mad about this for a while because we love our Dodgers. All right, that's going to be it for me for today. Like I said, Vince was at the game tonight. He's going to have the in-person experience to talk about. Obviously, he would love to be talking about a win, but instead he gets to talk about the loss. But the good thing about baseball is there's another game tomorrow, and that's almost always true. And tomorrow we get to see Max Scherzer pitching in Dodger blue today for you guys, I guess. Get to see Max Scherzer pitching in Dodger blue for the first time, and that's awesome. So thanks for listening. I appreciate it, and Vince will be along in a minute.
Yo, Vince here to finish out the episode. Shout out to Jeff for holding it down. Piggybacking off what he just said, the media, it was an interesting way of covering things. I think for most people, or at least for, you know, me as a Dodger fan, this is the closure series. You know, the Dodgers get their closure. They get the Astros in Dodger Stadium with fans. And if anything beyond booing happens after this series, you know, Springer and Correa and Altuve and Reddick and Gurriel, those guys are going to get booed at Dodger Stadium probably for the rest of their careers. But if anything beyond the booing happens when the Dodgers play the Astros or face some of these guys, if they switch teams, I think, you know, it might be borderline excessive. I'm not going to tell people how to handle things, but I think this is, everyone needs closure. And I think this is the closure series. Let it all out. Get it all out there. Do all the booing, all the, you know, character dress-ups and T-shirts and everything else. And then after this, maybe a little bit of closure. Let it go. And not worry about the Astros unless the Dodgers play them again in a postseason or a regular season series in the future. So that's what I just have to add on that. I'm going to come back and just talk about how it was in stadium. And then just talk about a little bit about the 2021 team compared to the 2018 team. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market. You should know that by now. If you haven't already tried it, then you really need to go try it. And did you know, Built Bar is full of many delicious flavors. There's not just one flavor. There's very many flavors. There's something for everyone. Everyone that's a Built Bar fan, they definitely have their favorites. And I know definitely for me, honestly, I have some favorites, but some of them are the ones that are not always there, but some of the ones that are always there that are my favorite. Salted caramel for sure, cookies and cream, and a good coconut one here and there. If you want to find your favorite flavor, go to built.com. You can try all the flavors with the mix box. You'll get two of each of the flavors that they have at the moment. Not only Built Bars taste good, they're healthy too. Check out the macros, 17, 18 grams of protein, calorie between 130 and 180, 4 to 5 grams sugar, and 4 to 5 grams net carbs, and they taste great. And right now, if you go to built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, I'm back. And a little bit of a report on how it was at Dodger Stadium last night for those who weren't able to make it out. And number one, it was loud. It definitely was loud, the Dodgers. I'm proud of Dodger fans. They mostly kept the booing to the players from the 2017 team, which in the starting lineup ended up just being Altuve and Correa. Yuli Gurriel was out with neck stiffness, a late scratch, and Bregman wasn't back. Lance McCullers was pitching and starting for the Dodgers. He got some boos, not as much as Correa and Altuve. I'm not sure if people remember him or were giving him slack for being a pitcher. But regardless of all that, it was loud. I saw some people on Twitter talking about it was louder than the World Series in 2017. That's as the kids say, that's cap. It wasn't that loud. You know, at least unless I was standing in an area where it's drowned out the sound, but it didn't sound as loud. It was very loud, I'll give them that. But it definitely didn't sound as loud as the World Series. And I would hope it wouldn't sound as loud as the World Series. Yeah, it was a lot of people wearing their different shirts with either the Joe Kelly stuff or Trash Shows or Cheaters or whatever the case may be. Not a lot of Astros fans, which is a good thing for them. By the end of the night, I know there was a few things. I saw security guards running all over the place. I don't know if that was between Dodgers and Astros. I haven't seen any videos yet, but that happens almost every game, but it seemed like they were a little bit more this time. A lot of trash cans, as Jeff kind of talked about, trash cans that ended up reaching the field, which was kind of annoying since it was when Walker Buehler was pitching, and it seemed that he probably couldn't find a complete rhythm because of it. For some reason, it started out great in the fact that people were throwing back the Correa and Altuve foul balls that went into the crowd, but then by the end of the game, they were just throwing every foul ball that came off the Astros bat into it. It might have been a little bit alcohol fueled and people not quite understanding anymore what the point was earlier in the game. Yeah, Bill Plaschke, the way he worded it was weird. Dodger fans weren't throwing the balls at Astro players, they were just throwing the home run balls from Altuve and Correa and whoever else back on the field, not near any of the players. So, yeah, just kind of disputing some of those things. And yeah, it was a fun atmosphere, a fun game. Obviously, it being a close game made it a little bit better. There was a lot of stuff, good stuff on the Dodgers side that got the crowd into it. There was that one inning where Buehler struck out Altuve, and then Mookie Betts made an incredible play at second base, and then Buehler struck out Carlos Correa, which was nice. There was a double play in the first inning after Altuve led off with a single. There was Altuve getting picked off at first base later in the game. And I think Correa might have struck out another time. There was a lot to cheer for. Unfortunately, there was no runs to cheer for, and that's where the Dodgers struggled. It looked like it might have been a case of the Dodgers not having faced McCullers in a while, and then just a matter of he had his stuff working. They did miss a few opportunities. They did miss a few hanging pitches that they could have, you know, broke open the game with or at least got on the board. And in that sense, I kind of want to push a discussion into the Dodgers this season compared to the 2018 season. I had a little bit of a discussion with someone on Twitter the other day. That's pretty rare for me, but it was a nice, healthy discussion. Nothing bad, so I let it go back and forth. And that guy said that 2021 so far this year has been more frustrating than the 2018 team. And I had mentioned, you know, how quickly we forget 2018. 2018 was frustrating for a variety of reasons. You know, the Dodgers coming off the 2017 World Series, losing the World Series, that sucked. They struggled. They were 10 games under 500 at one point. They never were really in the lead for the division that long. They ended up needing some help at the last weekend in order to tie the Rockies and head to game 163. And I think it may be skewed. I still think 2018 was more frustrating. I do think 2021 can become that more frustrating, obviously because of, you know, the way things are going and the Dodgers not being first in the division and the Giants maybe looking a little better than the Rockies did in 2018. But I think when I remember the 2018 Dodgers. There was nobody in the National League that really worried me. So I was not, you know, obviously I wanted to avoid the one game wild card playoff. But once I felt the Dodgers were in, I know they were going to make the World Series. But that year, I wasn't sure if they had enough to beat some of the top teams from the AL. And, you know, this year it's a lot different where the Dodgers probably have the best team. None of the teams from the AL really scare me personally. There are some good teams in the National League that could potentially give the Dodgers fits just based on, you know, starting pitching. And we've seen the Dodgers, you know, as good as the lineup can be, starting pitching can help you and help you win games. But, you know, you go back to 2018, they were 11-14 in April, you know, the 1-2 in March, 11-14 in April, 14-14 in May. They had a really good June, 17-9. They had a nice solid July, 16-10. They were up. Then August, they went back down, 14-13. And then they had a strong September, 18-9, to get back into the division. But that team was 8-7 in extra inning games, but there was also wasn't the rule this year. If the rules were normal this year, I don't know if the Dodgers would probably not be 1-10 or 1-11, whatever they are now. So if, you know, with that being the case, I think that's why probably this year feels a little bit more frustrating because of those extra inning games. But the rule back then wasn't quite there for the Dodgers. And, you know, they were 22-22 in one run games. I don't think the Dodgers are that close yet, but they were better. But, you know, they were only 92-71, which the Dodgers are kind of on pace for, I think, 93, 94, 95 wins, somewhere in there. But I think what makes this season seem more frustrating is the fact that the Dodgers aren't in first place and the Giants are. Like I said, the Dodgers were 9 games back in May in 2018. They were 10 games under 500. Their longest winning streak was only 5. They were shut out 8 times. They only had 6 walk-offs. They were walked off on 9 times. I mean, there was a lot of frustration back in 2018, especially coming off the World Series loss and feeling like a hangover. So I feel like this team is on the way to being more frustrating. There's 2 more months left, or in less than 2 months left. And if they don't, you know, get into action and start winning more games, they are going to cut it close and could potentially see themselves in a one-game wild card with more than likely the Padres, unless they continue to fall and someone else gets in. But, you know, I think the Giants being ahead and being probably ahead of schedule for where they thought they would be at this point is more frustrating, because let's take the Giants out of the equation. The Dodgers would be 2 or 3 games up on the Padres right now. Obviously, they struggled against the Padres, and that's not fun, but the fact of the matter is the Dodgers would be in first place up on the Padres and more so looking to expand the lead rather than try to come back and hope for other people to help them out. And I think that's what makes this season feel more frustrating, is that the Giants are there. They're ahead of the Dodgers. And as of right now, like I've mentioned a couple times, the Dodgers do not control their own destiny in the NL West, and they're going to need some help. They got some help from the Diamondbacks on Tuesday. The Dodgers weren't able to help themselves out, and I guess it's good that they didn't fall another game back, but it's also, you know, it's hard to not want to take advantage of those games when the Giants do lose, especially against a bad team like the Diamondbacks. So for me, so far, 2018 is still a more frustrating year overall, even though I felt like the Dodgers were going to make the World Series as long as they got into the divisional round. Whereas this year, I feel confident that the Dodgers are still going to win the division, but I'm not as confident, or maybe now I am. With Scherzer and Turner, I feel good about getting into the playoffs, but I do feel like the NL is a little bit stronger than it was back then. Obviously, the Padres, the Giants are good teams. The Brewers have really 3 really good starting pitchers and a pretty dominant back end of the bullpen. Their offense has kind of been the bad part for the 2 times they've lost to the Dodgers in the postseason, but they got enough names in there that are decent enough, and then whoever comes out of the East, if it's not the Mets, I'm not as worried about it. The Mets would have to have DeGrom back for me to be worried about it. So I just feel like there is not as a clear path to the World Series as normal. But I feel like the Dodgers are still the better team, and they just need to start playing like it. And if they don't start playing like it, then obviously this team's going to become more frustrating than the 2018 team if they're not already there for you by now. And like I mentioned, the Dodgers have been good most of the year other than a couple rough patches. Right now they're in somewhat of a rough patch, going 6-9 in the last 15. They had the 5-15 stretch earlier in the year. They've dealt with a lot of injuries. But overall, the whole year, they've been really good. And July was their worst month, and they were 2 or 3 games over 500 in July. So they've been steady, consistently good. And I think it's just more frustrating because, like I said, if the Giants weren't there, it'd feel a lot different, I believe. And I truly believe that. So whatever the case is, the Dodgers need to come out and win. Max Scherzer's making his first start tonight. Dodgers got to put up some runs and help them out and, you know, split the series, get that little bit of closure, and hope that the Diamondbacks can beat the Giants again and help them out. That's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Make sure to follow or subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Make sure to tell your friends and family or coworkers or whoever else in your life that's a Dodger fan about Locked On Dodgers, and tell them to follow and listen up. And they may like it, they may not, but hey, give us a try. If you're not already listening every single day, please try to listen every single day, Monday through Friday. If not, at least try to up it by one every single week, or even two every single week, depending on how many you listen to. We are on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text, you can do so at 323-863-5625. Or you can send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one. Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart. Oh, heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!